Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to this evening Bible study. Welcome to the house of the Lord. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center, and it is a joy to share the word of the Lord with you this evening. The Lord's been doing great and mighty things here in his house, here in this place. And he will continue to do great and mighty things not in the very near future. It's already started. And we're just going to be basking in his glory in Jesus' name. It's been a wonderful, sunny, cool day today. It's my type of day today. And I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, yes, I am. Praise God. I have a few verses to get through here this evening. There's a Bible study that I do wish to potentially develop a series on it. I don't have a series as of right now, but it's something that I enjoy to talk about. I was actually going to speak about it yesterday morning. And the Lord, all of a sudden, just turned it around. It's like, no. But I do have the okay to speak about it tonight. So if it's the will of the Lord, we will continue this study next Wednesday night, God willing, unless if he changes things around. But before we start our Bible study, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Exalted be your holy, holy, holy name. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for another day that we can come to you, Lord, to your presence, to your throne, and just say to you, Lord, that we love you with all of our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here this evening. I also thank you, Lord, for everyone who is watching this right now online. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will minister, Lord, to their hearts right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that everything that come against the Word of God, everything that try to stop your people, Lord, from understanding what you're trying to say, I command it to go right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that your name and your name alone will be glorified forever and ever. May your people, Lord, hear you and see you and not me. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Have we brought our Bibles this evening?
Yes.
I like it. Nice. Praise God. I like that too. Yeah. You just put a leather case around it and I guess it could pass. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Bess. Amen. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And for our opening verse right now, we're just going to cover one verse, which is verses 38. In the 10th chapter of Hebrew. And you're welcome to say amen once you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Give you guys a couple more seconds here to get to the desired scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38. And I think we're good to go. Thank you. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We all know this verse. Now, the just shall live by faith. To me, that sounds like a statement, wouldn't you say? Doesn't really sound like we have an option here. If we are called God's just, this is going to be something that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to live by faith. Now, what we just finished reading is both a statement of fact, but also it is a command. I can clearly say that I have started living by faith when I rededicated my life to the Lord. When I rededicated my life to the Lord, I started working. My pay changed from hourly to salary. I started working salary jobs. And quickly I came to realize that everything that comes through every single month is what the Lord has sent me. Every single month. And I had to pray and trust the Lord in every single thing that came through. And it's still the same today. It is not easy, I'll tell you right now, but at the very least, God has gifted every single member of the body of Christ with a measure of faith. We all have faith. Every single one of us. It requires of us a great deal of focus and disciplined living to live by faith. And to do it well, there is one thing that we must do. There's no questions, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We must fully accept God's sovereignty. And up until we come to that point, to that conclusion, to that decision, that we are going to accept God's sovereignty in our lives, things are not going to work well. Things are not going to go the way that you wish or hope they would go. And this is not merely just a random act to where as though we can accept God's sovereignty one moment and then all of a sudden we forget about it or we go back to our old ways. But this is a reality working in our lives every single day through something called faith. For now, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about right now that might help you understand what my opening statement here. Do you recall that a lot of people, many Israelites, failed to see the promised land? And they died in the wilderness because their faith failed them at some point during their journey. From point A, which is Egypt, all the way to the promised land, we're going to call that point B, an entire generation was wiped out because their faith completely collapsed. Now, right now, maybe you might be asking to yourself, their faith in whom or their faith in what? Now, of course, that answer to that is easy. Their faith in God. But unlike the Israelites back then, unlike those folks, to us right now, my question to you is this. Have we fully accepted what our Lord is and what our Lord does? Have we fully accepted who our God is? Have we come to grasp? Do we understand? Do we submit to our God? Not that I'm trying to compare us right now to the people of Israel. I'm not calling anyone right now to be carnal or have a carnal mind or carnal behavior. But have we fully accepted the Lord, His teachings, His doctrine? Are we okay with living by faith every single day? Our Lord Jesus commends us in Luke chapter 14 that we must place Him before every single thing in life. Not just certain things, not just once or twice a week, but every single thing the Lord must be prioritized. As I commonly say, take precedence. He must be number one. May I have Luke chapter 14, verses 26, please? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. This is everything. This is every single thing. This is from point A all the way to point Z. This is quite the whole spectrum here. Now, what is our Lord's qualities? What is our Lord's attribute? What is our vision of God's place in our lives? Where do you put the Lord in your life every single day? Is he number one? Is he priority number two? And you can be honest with yourself right now at this very moment. I have responsibilities, I have priorities, and then whenever I am done with those responsibilities, then I have time for the Lord. This is only a question that you can answer, and I want to say that it's a very, very much valid question. Beside God's warning about the world, we must often be reminded that our carnal mind is not subject to him. And the word of the Lord says that indeed it cannot be. Whom we are, our mind, our carnal mind, our state of mind. May I have that verse real quick, please? Romans chapter 8, verses 7 says exactly what I'm talking about right now. Romans 8, 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against our Lord. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Now, a major reason the Israelites in the wilderness failed is that it never entered their mind at the very beginning of their journey that this sojourn right now, this journey, was going to be a difficult one. It never crossed their mind. Furthermore, they didn't want to accept. All they could do was complain, 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 and murmur, and complain even some more. Moses, why did you bring us from where we were? We had places where we can sleep, we had food, we had water. Our life back there was so much better. All they do is complain. We're going to die out here. We don't know what's ahead, what's around the corner. We are out here in the wilderness. We could be surrounded at any moment and be killed by whomever, the people of the land, and it on and day and night. Day and night. To the point that it just about drove Moses, can I say up the wall? Right? There's not even a wall up there in the anyhow, and the Lord did not like that at all. This right now is a clear example of their carnal minds and how it cannot be subjected. That's the major reason, one of the major reasons the Israelites in the wilderness failed, and because it never entered their minds at the very beginning that they would have good times and bad times. Good times and bad times. Our positions as so-called children of God place us in a position in which we must determine who is regulating our affairs. Who is in charge at all times? To whom will we submit our lives? Is it going to be 100% to God or not? Is God going to be number one in our lives or not? It is not as though there is a struggle between them. This isn't a fight right now of who's going to take precedence or who's going to have the importance. No, not at all. That contest has already been won. And we know who the winner of that is. That's God. However, he permits the enemy limited leeway to test us, to try us. What are we going to do in this particular situation? What is it that we are going to do when this happens, when that happens? This is all a test. This is all to try our faith. Which of these two, between whom we must choose, is supreme in your life today? Which one? Which will we choose to be sovereign over our lives? Revelation chapter 12 states that the enemy has deceived the entire world. The whole world. May I have that verse, please? Revelation chapter 12, verses 9. And it says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The enemy is an accuser and the author of confusion in our lives. And he's constantly at us, coming at us, putting all these thoughts in our minds, trying to derail us, to misprioritize our time. If we take an overview of the condition right now that is in the world, we can just about see turmoil everywhere, providing a clear picture that mankind as a whole has given itself over to the enemy. Just recently, I read of a shooting that happened in a school. Was that yesterday? That was yesterday, wasn't it? There was a shooting out there in the Midwest somewhere. Can't remember the state. Where a 15-year-old... Michigan? Thank you. Michigan. A 15-year-old boy shot and killed three kids of his same age, a boy and two girls, and wounded like 18 others or something like that, some mid-teens, wounded 18 other kids. You know, and he's in custody right now, I think. But when we see, when we listen to this story, that this has just happened just yesterday, we can see how the whole world right now is deceived by the enemy. A 15-year-old teenager, I can't really call him a child, but a young adult, a teenager, would do such a thing as far as try to take out as many people as possible, you know, in a school. And I think about this, and I think about what caused that child, that teenager, I should say, to do such a thing. To come to that point where as though they do not care about life, how precious it is, how wonderful it is to live, to have freedom. This is what the enemy has done to the whole world. However, it is not so with us. We are not deceived. We are on the side of the Lord. And by God's great mercy, our minds have been opened to the very purpose of freely choosing our God to be sovereign over our lives. And we submit 100% to Him. 100%. So then, I have a question right now for you to think about. How much do we truly know about God's character. How much do we truly know about God's sovereignty? About God's judgment as it is shown in the Word of God? I was doing a devotional, my daily devotional, and yesterday my devotional took me to the Sabbath, the day of worship. The Lord has given us 7 days in a week, and 6 days out of those 7 days, we take care of business, right? We get it done, what we got to do. But one day, one 24-hour period, the Lord has consecrated to worship Him, to get to know Him. We come to His house. We worship. We offer praises, the sacrifices of our lips. We come and we spend time with Him and we read the Word of God. And we enjoy each other's company in worshiping the Lord our God. One day. And then I came to an understanding as I'm thinking and meditating over all these things. I thought about going on a date night. Okay? Stick with me here. Suppose every Sunday is date night with your significant other. Stick with me. All right? You with me so far? Yes? And suppose you go to a very nice, fancy restaurant. The candle is lit. They might even have a jazz band playing in the background. There's sounds of waterfall, right? I mean, the place, white cloth, real nice silverware, you know, $100 a plate, $200 a plate, you know, the catch of the day. I mean, you name it. Everything made to order, right? Sounds like a really nice place, right? But then you're sitting across your date right now, and you're paying that person no mind. You're on your phone. And you're on a phone call. And you're staring at the walls. Maybe you're staring at the band. While all along, the person right in front of you has none of your attention. Right? So then the person in front of you is getting very much upset at you. And then they confront you. And then your response is, but isn't this where you wanted to come? Isn't this place nice? Isn't this enough? I'm here, right? I am here instead of at work. I'm working 6 days a week and we're finally here. And all you do is complain. What if that was your response? How well do you think that date would go? Or how many other dates would you go on after that one? Zero, none. I think I might have heard somewhere something. That would be it, right? Now, imagine coming to the house of God and then not paying attention, not worshiping, not fellowshipping, not coming and showing adoration, admiration, you know, freely coming and worshiping God and praising Him for who He is. And His majesty and His sovereignty, right? It's the same thing. Do we understand? We come to the house of the Lord to understand Him, to get to know Him. And not just solely in the house of God, because the Bible instructs us to, you know, prayer closet, for us to fast, for us to pray, for us to read the word, for us to, you know, get to know our God. So it's not just when you come to church. But I'm trying to use an analogy right now as far as, do we experience the Lord? Do we know His character? Do we give Him all of our attention? Or are we easily distracted by what's around us, our surroundings? Do our minds wander? Do you only see God from one point of view instead of another? Do you fail to see that God is a God that judges, a God that loves, yes, but also a God that judges His people? I want to show you a verse right now, for instance. And I want to know if you are aware of this side of God. Found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 63. May I have that, please? And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked off from off the land which you go to possess. Oof. We're talking about the Lord here. We're talking about the God that has never changed. A God who was the same yesterday, is the same today, and forever will be the same. This is our God. And this is a side of God that is often not preached, that is often not taught. And yet it is part of the whole of what our God is, and we must face it, and we must choose it. Yes, I do know that judgment is often very painful. When the Lord deals with us, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, yes, when the Lord deals with us, He knows exactly how to get our attention. And His judgment is part of His character. It's part of who He is. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that He humbled the Israelites and caused them to hunger. May I please have Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3, please? Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verses 3, says, "So He humbled you, allowing you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Imagine. Will He, in His purposes, bring similar judgment to your life and to our lives? Will we choose to accept His correction, His chastening? And will we submit to Him as our sovereignty when this happens? Or will we continue to fight and put up a fight? Or will we complain? Or will we question God? Why might He rejoice in exercising His judgment against His people, potentially might be asking? How is it that the Lord can rejoice in such things? Believe it or not, it is actually because of His wonderful love and mercy. We can call it merciful love. That is the only reason. The Apostle Peter, he reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, these words. The Lord is not, what? Slack. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. Shame on them. But is long-suffering towards you and I, not allowing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every single one of us. The Lord allows certain things to come to our lives to correct us, to teach us, to line us up, to make us grow, to push us. Because sometimes our carnal minds, our carnal state of mind refuses and rejects God's way. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4, confirms exactly this, saying that our God desires that all men, may I have that please? Thank you. Who desires, our Lord, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And thus, our Lord God, He can rejoice sometimes in our setbacks, because He knows that sometimes these things will be the means to draw us to the knowledge of the truth, by which we can repent, by which we can be saved. And this is why the Lord does not allow murmuring. He does not allow complaining. I've taught about this several times, just in different flavors. You know, don't waste your valleys. No complaining. The Lord knows what you're going through right now. The Lord knows your situation. My question right now is, have you fully submitted to His sovereignty? To the sovereignty of the Lord. This is to live under His sovereignty. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we praise You. Exalted be Your holy name. Thank You, Lord, so much for Your holy word that speaks to us, Lord, that teaches us, that guides us. Thank You so very much. And I pray, Lord, that these words that have come out, you know, from this pulpit here tonight, Lord, may they reach every single person, Lord, listening to it. And may Your Holy Spirit, Lord, have His way in their lives. Thank You, Lord, so much for Your love and Your compassion and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, through this wonderful love You have, Lord, brought us back. You have us, Lord, put us in the right path. You have saved us, Lord. And for that, I say thank You. And we say thank You, Jesus. Thank You so very much. May we always, Lord, humbly submit to You. May we always, Lord, make You number one in all things. May we always, Lord, put You first above and beyond anything else. We love You, Lord, and it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.